What is up, Reborn listeners? My name is Ashley Horner, and I'm really excited. We have a very, very extraordinary guest today on the Reborn podcast. I'm really excited to introduce to you guys, if you have never heard of Dean Karnassus. He is a legendary endurance athlete. On 10 separate occasions, he's run a 200-mile relay race solo. He's an ESPN SB winner and a three-time recipient of Competitor Magazine's Endurance Athlete of the Year Award. He's twice carried the Olympic torch. He's a recipient of the President's Council on Sports Fitness and Nutrition Lifetime Achievement Award. Dean and his feats have been featured on The Today Show, 60 Minutes, The Late Show with David Letterman, CNN, NPR, The Howard Stern Show, Late Night with Conan O'Brien. I mean, it just goes on and on. Jimmy Kimmel Live, the BBC, and many others. He once ran a marathon in each of 50 states in 50 consecutive days. He ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without sleep. He's ran 3,000 miles across the United States from Disneyland to New York City in only 75 days, running 40 to 50 miles a day. I'm really intrigued. Those of you who have followed me for a while know that I and nothing compared to what this man has done, but I absolutely love, there's something about the long distances, whether it's, you know, running, cycling. I've done some really long swims. I've done the Concept 2 rower. But there's a place that you go, a dark place that you go, that I, you know, I'm really interested and intrigued by how he does it, and if it's been similar at all to anything that that I've done in terms of like how I prep, the nutrition, the supplementation. So I'm really excited, and let's welcome on Dean. All right, Dean, welcome to the Reborn podcast. It is so awesome to have you on here. A man of many, many accomplishments, and it's certainly an honor. And I can see a lot of your medals and stuff hanging up in the background. That's definitely incredible. Those like who possibly don't know what it is that you do, can we talk about that for just a second?
Sure. Thanks for having me run by. So I'm at what they call an ultra marathoner. And what is an ultra marathon? An ultra marathon is anything beyond a marathon. So ultra in Latin means beyond. And a marathon is 26.2 miles. So an ultra marathon is anything further than that. I typically run, you know, 50-mile races or 100-mile races or 200-mile foot races and sometimes further. That's the distances, and they're often, ultra marathons are often held in really extreme conditions. Like I've run across Death Valley in the middle of summer, and I've run a marathon to the South Pole.
Which one was harder?
Oh, I think the South Pole was harder because just getting to the South Pole is almost impossible. And then, you know, it was minus 45 degrees. So
wow.
Trying to eat, you know, trying to prevent frostbite. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of elements going on.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about the run. It's through Death Valley, right? Do they have it like every year? And it's like the extreme of the extreme.
The Badwater Ultra Marathon. It's called the world's toughest foot race.
How many people ran it with you, or did you do it by yourself?
No, it's an organized race.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, I think there were 20 of us. And now it actually is an international field of 100 people.
Wow.
So, yeah, they kind of choose the most elite of the elite. Mm-hmm. And still not that many finish. You know, 100 start.
Yeah.
Not 100 finish. Yeah.
Right. How many times have you done that particular race?
10 times.
10 times. That's incredible. When was the last time you did that race?
It was probably 6 or 7 years ago. I can't remember. I told my family after 10 finishes I would stop.
Yeah.
Because it's not all that safe going out there and doing this, but
right.
I at 10, I figured that's enough.
Well, talking about like those two different races that you've done, did you do the South Pole one? Have you only done that one once?
That one has only been done once. It was supposed to be done by you. Yeah, it was supposed to be an inaugural event. There's supposed to be 40 to 50 people that were going to run it, but it ended up being so dangerous. There were three of us that tried it.
Wow. And
yeah, it was one and done. I mean, it was kind of a miracle, you know, that nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, I told my wife I'd be home in about 10 days and 30 days later, you know, I stumbled back through the door.
Oh my goodness. So the one through Death Valley, do you think that, you know, the first time that you did it, I'm sure there were so many there, it's like you're going into the unknown, right? Like you don't really know what to expect and you can only train for a race like that so much. And it gets to a point where it's just mental, right? Do you think that, for the times that you've done this race through Death Valley, the first time compared to the third time compared to the fifth time and so on, do you think that it got easier each time that you did it, or did each time you stepped into this field of like wanting to finish this race, were there different challenges that arose every time, or what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you learn from experience and mostly bad experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I told you I finished 10 times, but I've started the race 11 times. So the first time I tried it, you know, one thing I didn't do is I ran on the asphalt. So the temperature got up to 130 degrees, but the asphalt's over 200 degrees. And you know, when you roast a marshmallow over an open fire and you get, you know, the marshmallow on the stick too close to the flames, and the marshmallow just kind of slides off the stick and it kind of leaves a white smudge mark on you, you know, on your stick.
Yeah.
My foot slid out from my shoe and I thought, what the heck is going on? And I looked down, there's this big smudge mark on the asphalt. Literally the sole of my shoe had melted off.
Wow.
So I learned that you run on the white line because the white line is cooler.
Oh my gosh.
The other thing is that happened to me is I'll never forget there's a town that you pass through called Stovepipe Wells. And the low temperature at midnight in Stovepipe Wells was 114 degrees.
Wow. That was
but it's a dry heat, you know?
That's unbelievable. Yeah. So, okay, well, and I know you have so many other crazy accomplishments. I mean, I'm looking here at like your intro, and honestly, I think I could read your intro for the entire time of our podcast, and I would probably finally get to the end. Like, it's unbelievable the things that you have done. What is it that calls you to do? What is your background in running? Like, did you love running? Have you always been a runner? And what is it that calls you to do these things? Because it comes to a point doing these ultra marathons, you're suffering. Your mind is suffering. Your body suffers first, or maybe your mind suffers first. I think people can argue, you know, what goes first, your mind or your body. And then it's just a fight to keep both of those going. But what is your background in running, and what is it that keeps you coming back to this point of just pushing yourself and suffering through it?
Yeah, well, I started running home from kindergarten when I was 6 years old. Okay. Those are kind of my earliest childhood recollections. And then I ran competitively until I was a freshman in high school. And we won the state cross-country championships. And I stopped running. I decided that I was wasting my time, that you know, I had better things to do. And so I stopped running at age 15. And you know, I finished high school. I went to college. I went to graduate school. I went to business school and got an MBA, and I had a very comfortable corporate job in San Francisco. And the night of my 30th birthday, I was in a bar with my buddies doing what, you know, a lot of people do on their 30th birthday. I was drinking, and at midnight I told them I was leaving, and they said, why are you leaving? It's the night is young. It's your 30th birthday. Let's have another round of tequila to celebrate. And I said, no, to celebrate instead, I'm going to go run 30 miles right now. And they looked at me and they said, but you're not a runner. You're drunk.
Yeah.
I said, I am, but I'm still going to do it. So I walked out of the bar, and I'll never forget this. I didn't even own running gear, but I had on these comfortable silk boxer underwear. So I peeled off my pants, threw them down the alleyway, and started running south. There's a town called Half Moon Bay that's 30 miles away from San Francisco, and I said, just run there. And I literally ran straight through the night. It took me, you know, almost 8 hours. but I made it. And then I decided I was going to quit my job and become an ultra marathoner.
Wow. And is that, that's what you did?
That's what I did. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I wrote a book called A Runner's High that just came out. I talk about, if people are interested in learning more, you can read the book, but it has my whole backstory. And then, you know, to your point, there's a race I describe in the book called the Western States 100 Mile Endurance Run. Mm-hmm. And they say you run the first 50 miles with your legs and the next 50 miles with your mind. Mm-hmm. So it very much is a mental conquest as much as a physical one, to your point.
Yeah. So why, like, what is it? Like, why running? Why are you, I don't know, just, I guess like a little bit more of just, I would love to know more about like just the mental part of like, why do you do this?
Yeah, I think that I have a fascination with human endurance. I'm just interested in seeing how far the human body can go and, you know, pushing the envelope further and further out. You know, I've done all kinds of things. I don't know if you can see these bronze shoes right there.
Yes, I can. Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, so one time I ran 50 marathons in all of the 50 U.S. states.
In 50 days.
Yeah.
That is, how long ago was that?
That was about 10 years ago.
Okay. All right. That is so crazy. And you did it did you just run a marathon and then you got into a van or whatever, and then you drove to the next state? Or like, were you, I'm assuming you were probably like running, I think, en route to the next state in the direction of the next state, or how did that work?
No, it was more complicated than that. Okay. That's a good question, because I wanted to run sanctioned and certified marathon courses in all of the states because I want to have a record of it. So I contacted the race director for like the most prominent marathon in that state and said, hey, you know, on this random Tuesday when I'm in Iowa, will you set up your official starting line? Let me run your sanctioned and certified course and finish at your official finish line. And the race directors all agreed to do that. So a lot of times these marathons were kind of out of the way. It wasn't quite as easy as just driving across the state line and, you know, GPSing 26.2 miles. Because I didn't think that'd be credible. So that's how I did it. And yeah, I had a big bus, a tour bus. Nice. And I'd run a marathon, you know, take some photos with people and then hop into a bus and drive to the next state.
Wow. That's incredible. I see that you ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without sleep. I'm just curious, like, if you could kind of describe that for me. I ran... This was November, so of this year or this last year, I ran for 40 hours straight I do a lot of support for an orphanage over in Haiti. And I've been over in Haiti. I actually ran the western border in Haiti. But I did a 40 hour run in November, and hour probably 30, I was just hallucinating so bad, and the things that I was seeing, and I mean, it was pretty crazy. Can you talk about that a little bit, about like kind of like how do you, I had people with me, of course. I had a team of like three people that would just kind of like rotate in and, you know, help with like the nutrition and the supplementation and stuff. But I remember it got to a point where like I couldn't stop, because it was like the moment that I wanted to stop, I would just kind of like fall asleep. So I had to keep moving, but the mental capacity that I had and like trying to like focus on just like putting, because I think it gets to a point where you just have to focus on putting like one foot in front of the other. And the hallucination though, for me, have you experienced that at all? And like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I've experienced really vivid hallucinations.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I've seen ghosts running alongside me. During the Badwater Ultra Marathon, I've seen dinosaurs off in the distance.
So yeah. has it gotten to the point where you know that you're going to hit a cap and like you're going to see hallucinations and you've just accepted it? Like, how does that, do you think that it helps with your running to like kind of take your mind away from just the pain or whatever it is that you're feeling, and you're just in the state of like hallucination?
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I think it's visual tricks that your mind plays on you. And when your mind is going into different places, as it does when you're running for 2 or 3 days without sleep. Mm-hmm. So I think it's part of that. You know, I've woken up running down the middle of the road. Wow. You know, why am I in the middle of the road? And kind of meandered back over the shoulder. And then, you know, it happened again. I woke up running down the middle of a road and I realized I was sleep running.
Wow. That's crazy.
And during the, during that 3-day run, the, you know, the 350 mile run, I remember, I'll never forget this. I looked down between my feet as I was running and I saw this, it looked like a praying mantis, like a little bug, like an army figure, you know, just running along, at my feet. And I'm looking down at this thing going, what the heck is that? And then I realized that's me. It was an out-of-body experience. Like I was looking at myself from above as though I was in a helicopter or like in a hot air balloon running. And I thought, wow, I just separated from my body.
Yeah. That's really crazy. I want to talk about, I'm really interested, in the nutrition and the supplementation part of it. And you probably talk about this a lot in your books. You just had a book recently that came out. What is the name of that book?
It's called A Runner's High.
A Runner's High. Okay. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your nutrition, and supplementation a little bit? I'm curious as to, kind of like your, outtake on that and what you have learned. And do you think that the supplementation and how you fuel yourself, even like hydration, is it the same for everybody? Do you think it's the same for everybody? And what is it that has really worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, I always preface any talk about nutrition and supplementation by saying, you know, listen to everyone, follow no one.
Yeah.
Because to your point, I think we're all different and our needs are different. You know, I'll never live down the story of one time I was on a 200-mile run, and it was a 12-person relay race, but I was just running it solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, and I ran out of food. I didn't have a crew vehicle or anything, but I had a cell phone and a credit card. And I ordered a pizza.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I had it delivered to me. And I asked them, I said, don't slice it and make it with a really thin crust. And then when they delivered it to me, I took it out of the box and I rolled it into this like big Italian burrito.
Yeah.
And I just mowed as I ran and it, you know, it got all over me. It was so messy, but
right.
So good.
So what is your, like, how do you hydrate? Like, what is your, do you have like, this is how, like, you know, this is how you need to, like the food that you need to eat. Like for you, whenever you're doing these long ultra runs, is your nutrition different when you're on these runs compared to just everyday life and how you eat like on a, like a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it is very much so. I work with a company called Hammer Nutrition.
Okay. I've heard of them.
Yeah. They make gels, they make bars.
Mm-hmm.
They make energy, electrolyte replacement beverages. So I use their stuff and it's all kind of scientifically engineered and it's really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I use during a race. But when I'm just in day-to-day nutrition, I say if I can't pick it from a tree, dig it from the earth or catch it with my hands, I don't eat it.
Okay.
So nothing refined.
So very clean. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing in a bag. I cook very little of my food. I mostly eat protein from the sea.
Mm.
So wild Pacific salmon, you know, sardines, cold water fish.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah. That's awesome. What about like with hydration? You do the Hammer like hydration as well?
Yeah. They make a product called Heed, which I really like, which is long chain carbohydrate. So it's the slow absorption. It's got magnesium, you know, sodium, it's got all the electrolytes in it and it's really easy on the gut.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of really sugary products, you know, especially if there's a lot of refined sugar in there, you get bloating and you get all kinds of problems with your GI tract.
Yeah. What about caffeine? Do you do caffeine when you run?
Not so much when I run, but I do drink, like I have coffee in the morning,
but I don't. But when you're doing the long runs, you don't do the caffeine?
Not so much. No, okay. I think it dehydrates me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, again, so that's a personal preference. Like guys I race with, I mean, I race with one guy and he just basically drinks Red Bull he's an amazing runner. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, and I get a lot of questions just from, I mean, I'm nowhere near any of the feats that you've done and it's just so incredible. What I think the mind is truly capable of, once you just allow like there to be no limitations on what you can achieve and what you can accomplish. But, I just find that it's so fascinating, just getting into the runner's high. I'm very muscular for a girl, and that at one time, that's why I wanted to get into running, because I wanted to prove that, like, just because I'm a muscular female doesn't mean that I don't have like the mental willpower and what it takes to be a runner. And, I mean, I even kind of joke with myself, like I've always kind of hated running. And so that's why I really wanted to get into running and try to do some of these like longer running feats. And, one of the questions that I get a lot is just like how to, like supplement yourself along the way and like get ready for a long run like that. And I think that it's so true that, you know, it's not the same. You have to find what works for you. And a lot of that, it probably comes from trial and error. It's like doing a run and figuring out what works or what doesn't work. And then going out again and doing it and like, you know, finding the things that truly work for you and your body at that time. How was it? So how old, you were 30, you decided to quit your job. You're going to become an ultra runner, which you've been clearly super, super successful. How was it running in your 30s to running now? Like, how has that changed? Has it become easier? Is it more difficult, like mentally? How is the transition of just like over the years of just like running compared to like when you started, and to where you are right now?
Yeah. So I'm like you, I'm pretty muscular. And when I first started, you know, I'm also a surfer. And a windsurfer. So, you know, that builds a lot of upper body strength. And when I first got into it in my 30s, you know, I was spending as much time surfing as I was running and training. Mm. What I found is, you know, as I progressed, in other words, gotten older, my speed has just gone out the window. So I've had to train twice as hard to kind of keep up the same pace that I used to be able to easily achieve when I was younger. Uh-huh. I think the good news is that, you know, as we discussed, the nutritional sciences have improved so much for endurance athletes, as well as, you know, training techniques. So I'm doing a lot of HIIT training, a lot of cross training. I'm really looking at myself through the lens of being the best animal that I can be. Mm. And that includes, you know, running, cross training, diet and nutrition, mm-hmm. You know, optimizing my sleep quality. Mm-hmm. As well as interpersonal relationships. I try to have harmonious interpersonal relationships because I think that helps our performance in ways that a lot of people don't even realize. So I try to optimize all of those things now. And before, you know, I didn't have a coach. I didn't really, you know, adhere to strict training blocks. I would just go running and, you know, just my youth and my overall strength kind of you did the rest. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. What would you recommend to somebody? Like if I came to you and I said, okay, I want to train for a 50 miler, I've done a half marathon. What would be like the first steps and like the building blocks? Like, is there like a time frame that you personally would recommend, like give yourself 6 months? Or do you think it also varies from one athlete to another athlete and how much that they can progress? Like if someone came to you and they're like, okay, like I can run a little bit, I'm not going from like couch to 5K, like I'm beyond that. What would you say, like, how would you kind of program that? And what advice or recommendation would you give them?
I think it's very individualized, you know, as we discussed. So I think it's, you know, on a case by case basis, but I would say, you know, allow at least 3 to 6 months to train, to get up to that next level. And, you know, the one thing I would highly encourage is doing some long, slow runs, that, you know, LSD, they call it, long, slow distance.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, you know, literally running for 8 or 9 or 10 hours. Just, wow. You know, don't even worry about your pace. Mm-hmm. Just be on your feet moving for that amount of time. Because, you know, that's inevitably what happens when you run your first 50 miler. You're on your feet for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you know, if you just train by running really hard for an hour or 2 hours, you know, you've got the engine built, but you don't have the endurance. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I would recommend. And then when it comes to running 100 miles, that's a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a whole other recommendations for someone who wants to run 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you say the, LSD, would you say doing that like once a week, or is it twice a week, or what would you recommend?
Yeah, I would say, you know, follow the hard, easy protocol. Mm-hmm. So some days go really hard and short, maybe, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, but, you know, tempo. Yeah. So really hard effort. And then I would say maybe a couple times a week, try to get out for a longer run. I would say maybe once a week, like on a weekend, try to do an 8 or 10 hour run, but then back it up the next day with a 3 or 4 hour run. So you just get used to that sort of punishment.
Get used to the punishment. I like it. Okay. I kind of want to talk about gear a little bit. What is it? I'm always like trying to, I'm trying new shoes. I actually just bought a pair of Asics, the Tokios, because I have a tendency when I get tired, I like to heel strike. And, so the Tokios from the Asics that I've worn those before, but they kind of give you a little bit of like an incline that I like to like midsole strike. What shoes have been your favorite or what are you running right now?
Yeah, I mean, my problem is I can run in, you know, wooden clogs.
Yeah.
Like I don't need a lot of support.
Okay.
I've run in, you know, if you looked at my shoe closet, you'd be amazed because I have minimalist shoes.
Yeah, and, I like minimalist.
But then I have Hokas as well.
Okay.
You know, the really pillowy Hokas or really pillowy New Balance. Mm-hmm. And those, I like running in those as well. So I mix it up a lot. Just based on how I'm feeling that day. Like if my legs feel like they've got a lot of resiliency and I'm not very sore, I'll go with a minimalist shoe. But the other thing, you know, I spend 80% of my time on trails. I have the luxury of having a lot of great trails nearby my house.
Where do you live? Are you out in California?
I'm in California in a place called Marin, which is just north across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great area.
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess like your shoe, it depends on like the type of terrain that you're running in. Do you have you ever had a problem with your feet swelling? Like, do you know once you hit like a certain mile, your feet swell up and do you kind of accommodate for whenever you're packing your bags, you have like a couple sizes bigger?
I'm pretty fortunate in that regard that my feet don't swell a lot, even when it's really, really hot. But, you know, as we said earlier, listen to everyone, follow no one. I run with guys that size up a full size or a size and a half, especially at the Badwater Ultramarathon. It's not uncommon for someone to size up a full size or even further than that.
Right. What are some other like gear favorites that you have? Or do you just, do you run like minimally or do you run with like a runner's belt or what else do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I have a hydration pack. I prefer handhelds, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually run with a handheld, you know, insulated handheld. But I do have a hydration pack for longer races where the aid stations are really spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fortunate. I don't need a lot of hydration. Like I don't sweat very much. I don't sweat at all.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm pretty fortunate in that regard. I don't need to hydrate as much as a lot of other people.
Even through Death Valley?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you want to say, yeah. Well, the one thing with Death Valley is you're also, you know, you're pouring cold water over your head a lot. So you're kind of trying to, you're trying to stay cool by keeping, you know, your internal system cool by, you know, eating ice, if you can actually swallow ice, but also pouring cold water over your head. And I run with cooling arm sleeves. So I try to keep everything pretty moist.
What are some, so my mom is a little bit older and she's still a crazy athlete. She does crazy mountain bike races. Like, you know, she's just, I keep telling her to like slow down, but she's just, is just, she's a hard hitter. Oh yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah.
She's awesome. How like speaking to like, as you know, being an athlete clearly your whole life. And I know that you've gotten into like the cross training and stuff, but a lot of, you know, a lot of topics come up, like how do you avoid injuries as like, you know, just all this pounding and like wear and tear on your body. And I'm sure like after like the 50 days, the 50 marathons and the 50 states, I'm sure at some point you have been faced with injuries and, how have you worked through those injuries and how have you been able to like kind of, you know, prevent a lot of injuries with your running career?
Yeah. Well, knock on wood.
Yeah.
I've never had an injury.
Wow. That is insane.
Yeah. I've been pretty blessed in that regard. And
yeah. Okay.
I don't know what to attribute it to, you know, cause I run through a lot of niggles, you know, like my Achilles might be acting up a little bit or, you know, my AT might be feeling kind of weird and I just run through it.
Okay. And then it just works itself out.
Yeah. And I don't recommend that to people though,
because yeah, right.
a lot of people, you know, they're not so fortunate. Yeah.
What do you do for like recovery then? Do you have, like, are you big into dry needling? Do you do like the saunas or the ice baths? What is kind of like your home remedies? I love dry needling. I'm a huge fan of like the dry needling. Mm-hmm. I do some ice baths. I have a sauna at my house, like an infrared sauna that I use. So like, what is it that you have found? I mean, are you just like, you don't even warm up, you just run, and then you're like, okay, I'm done. Like kind of explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty much what you just described. You know, I don't stretch. I don't do much for recovery. You know, I mean, I do ice baths once in a while, but that's just more for toughness.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't, you know, one thing I never do is something that you're doing right now is that you can tell I'm standing up. Like I never sit down. I do all of my book writing standing up, all of my emails, you know, all my interviews standing up. I never sit down. I think that helps a lot. I'm very much into active recovery.
Okay.
So, you know, even the next day after 100 miler, I'm going to run. And
wow.
I should say hobble, you know, maybe just 2 to 3 miles, just shuffling along, just something to elevate my heart rate.
Yeah.
But I recover so much quicker if I do that versus right. just, you know, lounging on the couch all day.
Mm-hmm. Out of all the races you've done, what has been like the hardest?
Wow. I did a run across the Atacama Desert, which is the driest place on earth. Atacama is in Chile, in South America. And it was a 6-day, 250-kilometer self-supported race. So you had to carry everything you needed with you.
Wow.
And it was getting up over 100 degrees in the middle of the day. And then it was below freezing at night. And, you know, we're sleeping on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't sleep much at all in 6 days. And every day was torturous.
What made it so difficult? Just the environment?
Yeah, the humidity was like 4%. So it was so dry, so bone dry. And you know, the terrain was like Marscape, and a lot of it was really deep sand.
Mm-hmm.
So you're post-holing up to your shins in deep sand, and it's really hard to keep a pace.
Yeah.
You're on this really uneven surface.
Right. Have you ever ran the Grand Canyon here in the States?
Yeah, I've done rim to rim to rim. I did it when That's I was cool. 12 years old.
12 years old?
Yeah.
I did. So I did rim to rim to rim probably like... my youngest is 6. I had to have been like 8 years ago. And that was pretty gnarly. I don't even remember like what month it was. And it wasn't, I just did it with like a couple friends. And that was pretty crazy. I figured you probably would have done the rim to rim to rim. What has been like your most favorite run in the United States that you've done? Like the prettiest run?
Oh, in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I've run on all 7 continents twice. So I've been all around the world, and I would have to say, you know, right here where I live in Marin County is probably, that's why I live here. It's probably one of the most scenic places in the U.S. I mean,
wow.
You know, you've got the ocean on one side, you've got the mountains, the air is really clean and fresh, you know, with the sea breeze. So I would say it's, you know, it's always best in your own backyard.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually a really good answer. Like, why not? Like, right where you live, it has like the most beautiful places to run.
Especially now, right, with COVID.
Yeah, I know. No better time. I mean, it was crazy last year, you know, when everybody was kind of just forced to stay home. The amount of people that I saw outside and the amount of people that I saw started picking up running, and I'm sure that you witnessed it too. And it was just pretty incredible to see how active people started to get like outside and with physical activity. Your book that came out recently, I know that, you know, you're really vulnerable in the book. What is it like, what message are you wanting to get out? And like, what do you hope that people take away from that book?
You know, the message is love life, you know, embrace life. And it's the book itself, it's propulsive. Like it's a good literary pleasure book.
Yeah.
You read it and you're kind of removed from the heaviness of everyday living. So there's no message. I'm not saying do this. I'm not prescribing anything. I'm just telling a story in a really intricate and warm sort of way. that brings the reader along. And that's part of what I wanted, is just to create a book that's a little bit about escapism. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, when you get into a good run, it's the same feeling. You know, the heaviness of being is just lifted off your shoulders, and you kind of escape from the world in a way. But also, you engage very deeply with the world. Mm-hmm. So it's not a heavy book, but it's one that, you know, like I just got a message this morning from a guy that said, you know, I was going to read a couple chapters last night before bed. And he's like, I finished this morning. And then I got up and I went on a run. I'm like, that's amazing. You didn't sleep? He's like, no, I didn't sleep. Yeah. It was such a good book. I just read it straight through. And then I had to go running.
Yeah, really inspiring. Do you even have to train for your races anymore that you do? Because it doesn't sound like you're just like a freak of nature. Do you train?
Yeah, I mean, and I talk about that in this book. It's funny you mentioned it, because I got into this race called the Western States 100-Mile Endurance Run, which is really hard to get entry into. It's a lottery. And I wasn't really trained. So my idea of training was to run a 100-kilometer race, like a couple weeks beforehand, just because I didn't have that much time. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, describing what a bad idea that was, but continuing to go on. Yeah.
Yeah. So how long ago was the Western 100 that you did?
Yeah, so it was, what I described in the book was mostly in 2018.
Okay.
And I also talk about, I bring it forward to 2020, when I was supposed to run a race, a 100-kilometer race that was canceled because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I just went and ran it anyway by myself. I ran the course, and I talk about what a haunting experience that was.
What's next for you?
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to fly to Greece in a couple weeks to run 10 marathons in 10 days to celebrate the bicentennial of Greek independence. And then in August, I'm supposed to run across Australia.
Wow. Now, how far is that, running across Australia?
Yeah, across Australia is 5,000 kilometers.
Oh, my goodness. How long do you think that's going to take you?
It depends if I can get, you know, the permits and everything to go the whole way. And if so, I'm hoping I can do it. You know, I want to average about, try to average about, you know, 80 to 100 kilometers a day.
What does your support team look like on these things? Do you have like a van or like a, you know, a moped in front of you? Do you have like somebody like cycling along with you? What is that? Can you kind of give me like a visual of what that looks like? And I'm sure it depends on where you're at also. Like, are you going to take your whole team with you to Australia, or are you just that one person running down the road ordering Uber Eats with like a, you know, getting a pizza? What does that look like?
Yeah, no, again, it depends on the location.
Yeah.
But, you know, Australia, I used to live in Australia. And, you know, there are about 17 and a half million people in Australia. And, you know, in America, and it's almost the size of America. In America, there's, you know, 325 million. So imagine, you know, when you get into the middle of Australia, there's no Uber Eats. I mean, there's no cell reception. I mean, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it's some Australian military are going to support me on this one.
That's so cool. That's really cool. I've done like a couple long runs. I rode my bicycle from Virginia. I'm in Virginia Beach. So I rode my bicycle from Virginia Beach to Tulsa, Oklahoma, like 2 years ago. And that was like pretty exciting. That was fun. But I like, there's something for me and, you know, people would look at me and like look at my physique and they would say that I'm a strength athlete and I am very much so. Like I love getting strong, but I also love being what I like to call like a hybrid athlete. Like I like to focus on strength. I like to focus on, the functionality of just movement, and I love endurance. And, for me, like getting into endurance, I keep coming back to it because it's that place that you go, for me anyways, it's almost like a darkness that you just kind of go into, and it's like living in this this space and just kind of, you know, whenever I've done like some really long feats, I try to break it down so small to where it's like it's not intimidating anymore. And I don't know if you've whenever you're, you know, setting out to accomplish the really long run that you did, well, you've done so many long runs, but I don't know if you just break it down like day by day or like mile by mile. But yeah, I know.
I admire everything you're about. And I'm the same way. I'm all about strength training, but also about endurance. So, I don't look like your typical, runner. I'm not like a real skinny guy.
Yeah.
Because most people think runners are, very, very
right.
Skinny, but I'm like you. And, my mind does go into those, I call them sacred places.
Yeah.
They are dark, but it's like a hallowed grounds. And
yeah.
I encourage you to check out my book. I really think you'd dig it. I mean, I think it's all about, what you just described. So, have you ever done a Spartan race or any obstacle course racing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've done Spartan races. Spartan races to me, it's a little bit of a different experience than an ultra marathon because, in an ultra marathon, you're inevitably out there all by yourself for long periods, where like a Spartan race, I love it, mixes it up. So there's, other disciplines just besides running, but you're pretty much, you're in a crowd of people and all the obstacles are kind of put there by people where, when you're running a 100-mile foot race through the wilderness, you're spending large, portions of time just in your own headspace.
Yeah.
And
I actually, it's weird because I find that I thrive a lot better when I'm by myself, when I'm running by myself and when it's at nighttime and I'm just there with myself. Maybe I have one other person that's with me, but I don't know if it's because you just kind of like tunnel vision into just like, kind of describing like what you were saying. But there's nobody else around. There's like no noise. It's so peaceful. But I don't know. There's something about that place that you go to after you hit like a certain amount of miles. I don't know. It's a challenge. And for whatever reason, it keeps calling you back. And for me, I've just anything that has been set in front of me that I have found that is really challenging, I just try to break it down to where it's not intimidating anymore. And to where maybe it's not getting through like the next 10 hours, maybe it's just getting through the next 30 minutes and achieving that and then you focus on the next 30 minutes that's in front of you. So what's next for you? Like, what are you, you're going to Greece and that's going to happen. And then you're going to go to Australia. Anything else lined up?
Yeah. Well, I told you I once ran 50 marathons in all of the 50 US states in 50 days.
Yeah.
And I'd like to run a marathon in every country of the world in a 1 year time span.
Wow.
So I'd like to head on a global expedition and to do the same sort of thing, but just there are, 203 countries and I want to try to run a marathon in each and every one of them in 1 year.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Where can people, follow you, find your book, and all of this?
Yeah. If you go to Google and you type in, Dean Karnassus.
Yeah.
Actually, someone told me if you type in Dean in Google, I'm the first person that pops up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've been on David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Kimmel, like BCC. You've been everywhere. I'm sure there's so much information that you've put out there for people, and it's really, really, really inspiring. Where can people find your book at? On your website?
Yeah, they can go on my website. They can go on Amazon or any other bookseller. It's available nationwide.
Awesome.
In all booksellers. And, I'm on Instagram and Twitter.
What's your Instagram?
It's at ultramarathon.
Oh, nice. That's very fitting.
I was one of the early Instagrammers, so I nabbed that name. Yeah.
That is so awesome. 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 Well, is there anything else, like any last words that you want to say for like the listeners, the novice runners, any final words of just encouragement or anything that you'd like to leave?
Yeah. I mean, there's a quote from my book, run when you can, walk if you have to, crawl if you must, just never give up.
Mm.
So never give up.
I love that. I love that. Hey, thank you so much, Dean, for your time today. I'm definitely going to read your book. Very inspiring. Makes me want to go put my shoes on and go for a run. So thank you. Thank you so much, Dean, for your time.
Thank you. I hope we can share some footsteps one day.
That would be awesome. I would love that. All right. Wow. What an amazing interview. I definitely, I'm always inspired by all the podcasts that I do. There's always some really great takeaways that I get from speaking with people and just kind of picking their brain, whether it's athletics, business, things that they've gone through and how they've persevered. And with Dean, I really, even just talking to him and his stature and how he just kind of presents himself and carries himself, it really makes me want to just put on my shoes and go for a run. And I know that probably sounds kind of silly because he was, you know, that's what he was talking about with his book that has recently came out, that he really does have that effect on people though. And I want to encourage you guys. I know that runs, maybe it's a 5 mile run, maybe it's even a mile. It doesn't matter the distance, that's irrelevant here. What matters is you believing in yourself and going out there, putting on your shoes, lacing up, and just going for a run. And maybe instead of hitting miles, you go for time, like Dean was talking about. Maybe it's not how many miles you can accomplish, and you're holding on to the heaviness of that number and wanting to accomplish that number. Maybe it's just setting a tempo and going for a run for time. And even if you have to stop and take breaks, even if you slow down, just keep going. And before you know it, you're going to get stronger. Your mind is going to take you to places that you've never been. And I do believe that with each run and every time we push ourselves further, we don't quit, we don't give up, but we continue on. We are becoming stronger, more resilient, and more capable. And what happens is that bleeds into the outer portions of our life, not just within the walls of fitness, but within everything that our lives, our daily lives encompass. So leave us a review, guys. Leave a review on the Apple Podcast. Let me know what you think. And really, truly, as always, thank you so much for listening to Reborn with Ashley Horner. Make sure that you tell your friends about the show. And thanks again for listening to the Reborn Podcast from Ironclad. And we'll see you next week.